It's Wendy Snyder in for Bob Surratt. This Week in Chicago History with Anna DeVlantes is sponsored by visituihealth.care. And Anna, that song makes me think of one special team.
Yeah, this week, Wendy, 20 years ago, 20, can you believe that, since the White Sox won the World Series. October 26, 2005 is that magical date when it happened. Can you believe it was that long ago? Remember it ended away in Houston that they won the title in a sweep, right? But I don't know if you remember this, but it didn't feel like a sweep to everybody at the time because White Sox fans were so stressed. It had been 88 years since they'd won the series, and you're just never quite sure, right? I remember being camped out in the neighborhood right there in Bridgeport behind the cell. I was reporting for NBC at the time, and it was just very eerily silent until that last pitch. You know, the whole thing, it was just, there were even people watching on their screens outside, I remember. But it was pretty tense, and then it erupted and poured out onto the streets, this ginormous celebration. The Sox had won. We pulled those final seconds of the game for you to relive the moment when the White Sox won the World Series October 26, 2005.
And now we're back to being the second team in the second city again.
But hey, you know, don't forget the fun fact that we now know of, that there might have been divine intervention at that game, Wendy, because the future Pope was sitting there at game one of the World Series. There's a fun story that the kid next to him, that Eddie Schmidt, his name is, he had been showing the clip of himself at that game for years to his friends to prove he was there. And when the news broke that the Vatican had elected a new Pope and he was from Chicago, a Sox fan, the Schmidt family was like, hey, wait a minute, who's that guy who's sitting next to you at the game? And so it was kind of a fun thing that you know, image now has become like widely circulated.
That's
just
great.
Fun fact.
Well, I hope he helps us White Sox fans next season, because he didn't help at all this season.
Yeah. I know. He's busy. Give him a little slack.
I will. I'll give him some room to settle in. All right. So Pat Sajak selling. I can't believe he is from Chicago. Am I the only one who didn't know this?
Literally just figured this out recently myself, but he's 79 years young this week, Chicago native, grew up on the west side of Chicago, Wendy. He was known as Patrick Leonard Sajdak, pronounced Sajak, but there was a D in it. He dropped the D for broadcasting, and this is the early career is like a real Chicago story, because he went to Columbia College, studied broadcasting, and he was working as a desk clerk at the Palmer House to earn money on the side. Pat Sajak idolized Jack Parr on The Tonight Show, and he wanted to be a talk show host one day. And his Columbia College professor helped him get a gig as an overnight news guy on this low-wattage community radio station. I think it was 1240 a.m. At that time, they were doing daytime programming in Spanish and Polish to serve the local community. And then at night, they did the news in English. So enter Pat Sajak. He was the overnight guy, his first job in broadcasting. And here's a clip from an interview of him remembering back in the day.
Really?
Yeah. How about that? Isn't that crazy? So he became a radio DJ from there, Wendy, TV weatherman, and then an LA TV station where he was working. Merv Griffin, none other than the legendary game show producer, saw him and said, that's my guy for Wheel of Fortune, and really just said, I want that guy. I know he's unknown. I just like him. He's got this way about him. And he then, of course, hosted the show for a record 42 years, the longest serving game show host in American television history. So happy birthday, Pat Sajak, enjoying a well-deserved retirement.
That's excellent. And finally, big news in Chicago this week in 1987.
Okay, another, hey, did you know? Did you know that the first Starbucks outside of the Pacific Northwest was opened in Chicago?
Nope.
And it was, 1987. They opened, you know, they had their Seattle and their Pacific Northwest stores. And they're like, hey, we're going to expand this baby. And they brought it to Chicago just in time for pumpkin spice latte season, Wendy. But they didn't have those back then. It was straight up espresso drinks. They had like cappuccinos and lattes and espressos. They had a cider, an apple cider, and a hot cocoa. But that was really it. It was a place to order coffee beans and all that kind of stuff, and it was pretty straight up, you know, coffee. Interesting to think about, though, is right in the loop at 219 West Jackson. And they, you know, they didn't have the fancy schmancy drinks or anything like that. There, the drinks, you know, if you think about it too, they were trying to sell people on the $2 and $3 latte back then. And that was a big deal because people just weren't paying that for coffee at the time. They weren't into this whole like single sourced exotic bean, sophisticated coffee drinks with lots of different things going on. That wasn't the thing. So they actually talk about it in the Starbucks archives about when they expanded that they lost money in Chicago, a lot of it, until they educated consumers about why lattes should cost $2 or $3. And then this is what happened. And then at the end of the day, we've been very well educated, I think, because we're buying a lot of these things and they're a lot more than $2 or $3 today. I think that I swear I tried one of the specialty drinks on the little bulletin when I went in. It was over $10 for a drink. So it's like, you know, people are paying for this and they've figured something out. It's just, do you go to Starbucks? Do you have a go-to or have you tried those kinds of fancy drinks?
I like the, you know what? I really don't go. I like the mocha frappuccino and just an iced coffee with tons of their syrup and lots of cream. Anything to make it not taste like coffee.
Right, exactly. It's like, here's my drink, but it's like, what is it? I don't know. But it's like now it feels like there's a Starbucks across from every Starbucks. They're all over the place. But humble beginnings right here in Chicago. Kind of cool.
The things we learn from Anna DeVlantis, I'll tell you, you are the best. Thank you so much. And you'll be talking to Bob next week because he will return. It's Anna DeVlantis and This Week in Chicago History.